Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. I have found, like many of you have found through the years, that the best place to do your petitions and your confessions towards God is after an extended time of presence. It's not that He loves you anymore at the end of the presence. That's worship. But your faith is in another place. So thank God we're in another place. We're seated together with Him in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord. I heard the Lord say He wanted a couple pages or a good dose of our confessions, Gabe. Would you mind doing that? Would you come and do that? So you can get comfortable. Just however, I don't care. However much. I really don't care. This is the confessions that we speak on Friday night. So Gabe, whatever He places on you, not two or three pages or all of it. I don't care for that matter, but hallelujah. How many of you will exercise your authority with us right now?
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. We praise your holy name. You are not a man that you could lie. You have exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never pass away. Therefore we say, your glory is present here at the Family Prayer Center. The sick are healed. The blind see. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The lame walk. The dead are raised. And the poor in spirit have the gospel preached to them. Thousands and thousands are born again every week here at the Family Prayer Center. While we are able to get along with each other, as the Father works revival in our midst. Father, we say, in the name of Jesus, that no person ever leaves the Family Prayer Center the same way they came. Every person that comes receives a touch from the Good Shepherd. Father, your glory fills every service. Every person that comes drinks of your glory. We leave as earthen vessels filled with your glory, filled with your wisdom, filled with your love, filled with your grace, and anointed by your Spirit. We carry your presence with us. We carry revival around this world. Father, we declare, we preach your gospel. We never settle for man's gospel. Only yours. It's the gospel that saves. The gospel that fills. The gospel that heals. And that's why we say, lost be saved. Empty be filled. Blind see. Sick be healed. Lame walk. Deaf hear. Maimed be whole. Dead live. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory and honor unto you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We declare every captive to be free. Every wheelchair emptied. Every artificial help. They may need them when they come. They won't need them when they leave. We'll have them here as trophies to the glory of Jesus, our healer. All manner of sickness and all manner of diseases are healed. First time, every time, all of them, no exceptions. Jesus, you healed them all then. You heal them all now. That's what we say. That's what we have. In your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. To your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, you are a provider. And angels have been dispatched to gather in all of the finances and everything necessary for this revival. Things known about and things yet to be revealed. Because you are the God who answers before we call. Therefore we say, there is no lack. We operate from abundance. We operate from surplus. We have all. And we abound with many baskets left over. Our financial granaries are full. Because our King has found stewards that he can trust. And I am one of them. Father, if you need anything, come to my house first. Whatever you have need of, come to my house first. I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I am a first-class servant. I love you, Lord, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. And the second commandment is like unto the first. I love my neighbors as myself. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Therefore, we lift up the bloodstained banner over this city, written in blood. On this banner are these words. Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. And where Jesus is Lord, the Father's will is done. Father, have your way. Not just 30-fold, not just 60-fold, but 100-fold. And again we say, lost be saved, empty be filled, captives go free, blind see, deaf hear, dumb speak, lame walk, maimed be whole. Dead live in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, for thine is the kingdom. For thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Forever and ever. Your will be done in Immokalee. Just as it is in heaven. As in heaven, so in the earth. As in heaven, So in Immokalee. Immokalee is saved. Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah. To your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Those times that, like a lot of other seasons that He's in bringing us to, we're going to court this season real well. When He's asking us to sit and wait and do, let's just see what God can do. You're going to find by the grace of God that we have a lot of waiting time. Because that's about the one thing that church misses. There's a lot said about God, but there's very little just lab time. Just lab time. I mean, not book time, just when you're actually doing it. Where He can actually come and saturate you. Hallelujah. So those quiet times where He's come on us like that, that's just one more measure of what He's trying to do. And you know it's supernatural. You don't even have to try to make it happen. It's not because Matt's not putting on a tape or Candy's not saying something. Or it's presence. You know it's presence when there's not a cough, not a baby cry. It's a glory. Mainly what He's doing is He's trying to extract authority, take us to a place where He can come and do more and more and more. Hallelujah. Get a hold of our services. The hardest thing that I have, and you pray, we just want to get out of His way and just let Him flow. Just let Him flow. Right now, wherever we're at in the progress of getting closer to this thing called revival, I can tell you that it's all in a place where He can come and do for us in our character. Because the revival that we're so appreciative of speaking of and constantly forging forward for that purpose, it's not supposed to be something. I know this about it. And the reason why I know it about it, I look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels. There was not a moment in His day, you just can't pick it up in between the pages, that when He went from town to town, place to place, or miracle to miracle, there was not even, you can't see, you can't feel it from the Word, that there was ever a moment where He ever second-guessed what He was doing, or whether or not what He was about to do wouldn't turn out exactly like the Father wanted it to turn out. I mean, the miracle was, it wasn't even a thought whether it would take place. Now, He said, the works that I do, you'll do also. And greater works, the greater works was the salvation. But here's where He's really wanting us to come, is that He sits on us like this. A little bit I'll hush, but He's having me say this now, and we'll worship some more maybe towards the end of the service. And as I said, we'll court this more and more. But all He's doing is what we've already learned, is He's wanting you and He's wanting greater measures of your life. Because when it comes down to it, the revival is not that we come to a place where we're on the brink of something and something so miraculous takes place that it makes us nervous about, will it happen again? Or can we have a service like we had last time? But in all practicality, that life is supposed to be living inside of us. So much so that the revival is us. So we carry it wherever we go. And there's no pretense like, can I hang on to this? Will it take place? Listen, I've seen enough people press past and just press into something that they didn't even have the character. And God would come and He would meet them on this line and anoint and do stuff for them, but their character wasn't there. And so consequently, if they didn't go on and develop their character, I'm talking about mortification now, then the trail behind that was a trail where devils came. And I've seen them countless taken out of the way. I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about all of our fellow churches that I know in Christ. It wasn't prescribed by Christ to be that way. You know what it's supposed to be? It's supposed to be a place where He takes you from glory to glory. So much so that the footing wherein you stand is so sure that it feels common to you. It's appreciated beyond measure, but it feels so much like you. It feels like this is... How couldn't he open the eyes of the blind this service or the next service? Let's look at a place. He wants me to show you what he's exhorting on. 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah, Jesus. Look at chapter 4. Hallelujah. At the end of chapter 3, he concludes, which there was no division, of course, between 3 and 4, but as he's writing and he says, the Lord is that Spirit. Well, we've come to understand that that is that new nature. And the Lord is that Spirit that was placed within you, and where the Spirit, that new nature of the Lord is, there is liberty. But of all of us with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image, His image, the image of Christ. How does it take place? Like we're experiencing now. But more adequately in your prayer life as an individual. From glory to glory, even by that which He's placed within you to change all things. The new nature. Hallelujah. The new nature. Folks, what we've been given by Christ when He instituted His doctrine into the church and it went through the book of Acts. Acts was the door going into all the epistles. If you didn't pass through Acts and were filled with the Spirit, Smith Wigglesworth, whether you agreed with him or not, he would tell people that wanted to discuss the epistles if they weren't filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues. He said, you don't have a right to the epistles. He said, you have to pass through the book of Acts because the epistles are written to Spirit-filled people. And you can't understand the epistles unless you're Spirit-filled. You can't understand them. Now, a good Baptist person would fight you on that, I'm sure. But the Spirit that he's talking about here, and you used to be one. But now this woman speaks in tongues. I almost want to say more than y'all. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. But we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, or handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commended the light to shine in darkness, out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But, hallelujah, we have this treasure, revival moving, producing treasure, in earthen vessels. I think if you look that up, it says clay pots in the Greek. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now here's where we are. Here's where we're at most of the time on this road to revival. We just did those confessions. Gay says, I say we can get along with each other, and we repeat it. Hallelujah. I'm laughing in myself. Candy said last week, she said, I used to say, you know, especially when you're feeling those high times in the Spirit, you know, you just feel so much like Him. She said, I used to change that and said, I say that we all love, how'd you say it? We can all love one another. She said, I don't know, it just sounded a little, this may not be the word, a little crude to say, you know, I say we can get along with her. And then we had one of those weeks a couple weeks ago. She said, she went right back to, I say we can get along with each other. I mean, Jesus lives in the real world with you. Now, you can go up there and feel real flowery at times and then come back. And then you'll say, I say, my God, I'm pleading with you that we can get along with each other. I'll just take that confession and hang on to it. Hallelujah. Said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, how do we get it out? See, that power's in us, but the problem is it's contained in a clay pot. And that's the problem. But to Him, it's not a problem, because we've been given the precious Holy Spirit. Folks, from the day that I was saved at 11, and I'm no more saved than any of you if you just got saved last night. So this testimony doesn't make me better or you worse. I think I was saved at 11, filled with the Spirit at 12 or 13, and went to an Assembly of God college, graduated out of there. Went on in my life, heard some wonderful doctrines, was around the gospel of the Word movement, which some powerful, powerful men like Dad Hagen really taught me some wonderful things. But it wasn't until about 13 years ago when I began to understand. Candy thought at the moment when I first came back, she thought, oh, this will be another craze. After 13 years, the craze has not gone away. Decisive, intentional, because I want to, continuous praying in tongues has unlocked a world unto me. And the first world that it unlocked unto me was my own personal peace that I began to receive in my earthen vessel. It began to take the cobwebs of my mind and somehow, methodically, systematically, open up my heart to God, so that I know this, there's a change process going on the inside of me. Sometimes we look at people, I know you have. We give them something like Dave's book, or we talk to them and we tell them how much we're excited about praying in other tongues and what it's done for us. And yet, even though they look at us with a smile and they maybe take the book or say, I'll read those scriptures or whatever, you know that it just goes right over their head. And they consent with a smile and they'll talk to you, but you know after 6 months when you say, did you get anything out of it? Yeah, well, I'm on chapter 2. What separates? What separates? Are they any more saved? Or are we any more saved? No. But I can tell you this. Hunger is the prerequisite to change. Hunger for more of God. And when you realize that He's placed a road in front of you that is just as methodical, and we can get to revival, but the problem is, between us and revival is an earthen vessel called the flesh. It's called the flesh. And it has in and of itself, even though we're born again, all the traits. We don't have two natures. We've only got one nature. It's a new nature. Sometimes people will talk about the nature of the flesh. The Bible doesn't refer to that. Calls it the appetites of the flesh and those kinds of things. The old had the nature of the flesh. And those living in the world have the nature of the flesh. But we've been born again. The problem is this. The perplexity is this. We're living in an earthen vessel, and all of revival is chained up on the inside of it. It's wanting to get out. Do we know how to let it out? Oh, yes, we do. Hallelujah. He said this, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now that actually, if you read that in the Greek, it's like we're perplexed as standing at a crossroads, and you've got 10 different choices of what could be the right way for you to choose and going forward. But he says, we're perplexed as I don't know right now where I'm standing, where I'll be next week, how God is going to deliver me out of this. But he said, we're not in despair. And we're not, despair means I'm not confused about it. I don't, even though you ask me now, how am I going to get through this? I'm not sure, but I'm not confused about that. I will get past it. Hallelujah. I will get past it. And this is the key. Always bearing about in the body, our bodies, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, this isn't saying that Jesus Himself is dying in you, but the ministry of mortification, which Jesus wants to carry out in you, which means your dying process, your self-will, whatever standing between you and us, and every time that we come in here having an absolute glory cloud follow us in. Now, folks, it is going to happen, but we have to presently believe that what's making it going to happen is working in us right now, and give it full place. Hallelujah. Give it full place. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always... How many of you think you've ever heard a mortification message around here? And sometimes I go home and sit in my chair and wonder, Lord, are they going to stone me the next service? Not really. But I'm going through the same process. Why? Because we want the outpouring, and there's only one way to receive it. And it says that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death. Now, that doesn't mean we're physically dying. But something is taking place in this clay pot. We're choosing the life of Christ over our own life, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, he said, death worketh in us, but life in you. He was speaking of their apostolic position. He says, the reason why we give ourselves over to the death or the dying process, that God comes and mortifies us. Now here's all of us, not just apostles, here's all of us as a church going forward to revival. Here's our choice. And He will not, here's the thing about it, He will not come and shackle you and say, I'm going to make you do this. Here's the glory of it. We're choosing on our own. Every moment that we sit any service hereafter and let Him soak us, saturate us. There's no penalty for not being a part of it. There's no penalty for not staying. There's no penalty. It's just that it's on your own volition, and by it, the grace of God is multiplied to you. It's multiplied to you. He said this, and I'm going to close, and we're going to just do whatever He says. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. See, the life that we're delivered to the children is only going to come about. The miracles are only going to come about by the death process that works in us, but also produces life, because the clay pot that contains such a treasure right now is being inhibited because the walls are 2 inches thick, or 4 inches thick, or 6 inches thick. I want this clay pot broken up. So broken up that there's none of me in all of Him. Hallelujah. And if He can do that, It only can take place through the dying process. And I say again, and this is why I mention so much and so often, the Holy Spirit is the one who takes us and changes us and causes us to go through this process by tongue after tongue after tongue. Glory be to God. Are you happy? He says, for we have the same spirit of faith. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. For our light affliction, He's called it a light affliction. I don't know what you've been through lately, but count it light. Which is but for a moment, which worketh for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory. For why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I give you all the praise and all the glory. Isn't God wonderful? Hallelujah.
I just want to read this while I was in prayer today. Something the Lord shared with me. I'll just read it as I have it here. It may sound silly to some, but these are some of my personal moments with the Lord. Today's March 25th, Wednesday morning. Here I am, Lord, longing to hear your voice as I sit here in my swing in front of the house. I am waiting and I'm watching. I'm watching blackbirds come and get breadcrumbs I threw out for them this morning. I see some doves come and mockingbirds also. Well, anyways, I'm trying to silence myself to hear from you, Lord. And then I begin to hear these thoughts rise up. There are not many who are doing what you're doing, although more are becoming aware of this mystery of being quiet and waiting on me to speak. I will speak in due season. Man does not know the day nor the hour when I'll come, but you will hear my voice when I speak. Just keep your lamps trimmed and burning and stay tuned into me. You will hear what I have to say. Don't get weary in well-doing. Keep praying in the Spirit, and I'll lead you by the Spirit. So wait for my downloads. And that's it. It was just a very quiet time, what we're doing right now. And for several days now, that's been kind of the way it's been. I'm not hearing too much. I'm getting a little bit, but mostly it's been just real quiet moments like these.
We're just going to continue to worship, and I believe that's His heart. We'll put buckets up, but that doesn't have to be any concern of yours right now. I'm going to sit up here and worship. And if anybody came tonight and they just needed prayer or whatever, I'm here to pray for you. But the service is, it's ours to do with what we want. So let's just magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad every one of them can be different. This one's different. But it's a prelude of some real wonderful things to come. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen.